The past several months, we worked our way through 1 Peter, through an entire letter, and as we took it piece by piece, I mentioned several times that that has a great advantage, that we get to look at the particular pieces and spend time with them, but it has the disadvantage that you forget what was before it, because you might have read that 2 months ago or 3 months ago, so you might begin to miss a little bit of the bigger picture. Today, we're going to look at the entire letter of 2 John. It's fairly short, so it's that's not going to be a problem. And we get the advantage of seeing the entire letter in its context and looking at the particulars as well. So I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles for in 2 John. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Now, the elect lady is referring to the church itself that John is writing to. And at the end, when he says, the children of your elect sister greet you, the elect sister is the church where John is at. When we look at John, John is amazing in the Gospels and his letters of having a very simple message and yet very deep as well. And we see some themes that are woven together in all of John's writings. Those are love, truth, and joy. And he weaves them together in such a way that we can see they're really inseparable. This letter does just this. And so we'll take a look at it, beginning first with love. And he says that, you know, Jesus, we were given this command from the beginning. It came from Jesus that we are to love one another. And in John's Gospel in the 15th chapters, Jesus there says, I give you this command to love one another. There is something very, very special about that. Now, behind this is that we love God first, and that through our loving God and God loving us, we are enabled to love one another. But we are to love one another. The fact that it is a command that comes from Jesus makes us want to look at it more clearly, more intently. Not that the other commands are not important, but we know Jesus, that unique Lord of all of the universe, when he speaks, he was drawing together God's truth and putting it in just these little nuggets And so we want to pay particular attention to his words. So Jesus gave us this command to love one another. So it's a priority. We also know from experience that love fulfills our deepest need. We all want to be loved. We all need that. The absence of love makes that really clear. And that's why, you know, the old sayings can be that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Because there's a hole, isn't there? And it's that yearning for the deepest love that draws us to God. Many people are still searching, and they're searching to fill that emptiness in a variety of ways. And it's not complete. It's the way that we're created. So God has given us that emptiness as kind of like this homing beacon. We're directed to God, and then we find our fulfillment. We go, this is it. This is what I'm created for. This is what life is about. And it's to be in communion with God. And so when we are loved by God, and we understand that, Jesus says, love one another. That's because when we love one another, we are sharing God's love with one another, and we are experiencing God's love through one another. And our deepest needs are filled. So we can have the Holy Spirit and feel God's love directly that way, but God is gracious in that he gave us other means, and that is one another. So we can love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, and thereby we are filling that need. As we love one another, it is a great evidence to the rest of the world that the gospel is true. It's a witness to grace. And so we want to be able to do that. We want to be able to show forth the greatness of God's love, his love that overcomes sin. Sometimes we're not lovable, and we know it. And yet we love one another. To love one another in the midst of that is a great testimony to grace. So love, John wants us to understand that we have this command to love one another. But he ties it together with truth. Begins up in the very beginning where he says, to the elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. He wants to know there's a connection there between his love and truth. And the reason that we know he's talking about truth and not just, oh, I truly love you, is he says, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. So John is making this connection between love and truth. We'd say an ultimate truth. And he says that we are to walk in the commands, walk in the truth. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as you were commanded by the Father. So we look at this walking according to the truth, and what does that mean? And he ties that in then. He says, it's not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. John is tying together love and truth. The ultimate truth is love. God is love. God loves us. God calls us to love others. That's the ultimate truth. And he wants us to connect those. And we're to walk according to this, which means we live according to the truth. We speak truth, we do truth. And that truth means that we love one another. We're filled with God's love, and we share that love in word and in deed. But there's something more that is here. as he talks about truth and connects it with love. At that time, there were teachers or preachers or evangelists or prophets. They went by different names and did different things, but they traveled around from church to church, and they encouraged the church. They taught the church. They discipled them. Most of them were sound in their doctrine. They preached truth. But there were some, and they were probably very dynamic. There were some who had brought in various philosophies that they believed before they became a Christian. And they just kind of integrated them into their faith. And some of this was a view that had a secret wisdom, a secret truth, knowledge. And there were some that brought in this distinction that some Greek philosophies had between spirit and matter. And spirit was good, and matter, or the physical world, was bad. So when they brought that into their Christian belief, and they thought about Jesus, who has always existed, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and as the Son came to earth, they wrestled with this, and from their previous way of thinking, they said, well, he couldn't have taken on flesh, not really, because that would be evil, that would be bad. So he just appeared to people. He just seemed to be there, but it was really just a spiritual presence. And that's what they were teaching. And John is very concerned about that because it undermines the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh so that he could take our place on the cross in truth. And that there was actually a real physical resurrection. The Apostle Paul battled these people. And in 1 Corinthians 15 just says, you know, if there isn't this resurrection, a true resurrection, a physical resurrection, then everything that we believe, everybody should pity us because we're just fools. So both Paul and John see this as being a critical place, this truth, this doctrine about Christ. Now, today, there are false doctrines about Christ. Some of them are by very well-known televangelists, and when they're pinned down on their doctrine of Christ, it's not orthodox. And so we need to discern, and we need to gauge it against the truth, God's Word. I've encountered pastors from our previous denomination whose view of Christ was not just a little bit off, but way off. For some of them, it was just Jesus was someone who God's Spirit rested on him in a very special, powerful way, and he was spiritually enlightened, like Buddha or Mohammed. And there's others who saw Jesus as being the Son of God, but then they say, but we're all sons of God the same way. The witness of Scripture about Jesus Christ is that he is utterly unique. And so if there's any teaching out there about Christ that isn't from Scripture and isn't right on, both Paul and John say, not only watch out, they do say watch out, but John wants to say, look, don't even invite these people into your home, because you're participating as you are sending them out in their ministry, you're participating in their ministry there. So there's nothing new under the sun. There are still false teachers out there. Some of them are very sincere. They really believe what they're saying. And there are some that are the wolves in sheep clothing. They're just out there to fleece the sheep. That's where it's important, again, for us to understand God's truth and to really know about Jesus Christ, because it is foundational and essential to understand that Jesus Christ, as the Nicene Creed will say, is very God of very God, but he's also man. He took on human flesh. And in that, the two principles coming together, the God, the flesh, our salvation is found through his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection back to life. It's important for us individually to know the truth and to study God's word and see who Jesus Christ is. And John says here that we're to abide in the truth. So we not only speak the truth and do the truth, this abiding, it's having this truth so much a part of us that it really can become part of our discernment. It's abiding in us through the Holy Spirit, but you have to really know the truth for it to abide in you. And as we come back to look at what is the core of this truth, the essence of it has to do with Christ, because it is looking at the atonement, his sacrificial death, which then opens up God's grace for us, which is God's love, and we're able to love God and love one another. So it's tied together. When we abide in truth, we're able to abide in love. Now he ties one more thing together here, and that is joy. And it's important for us to really see that true joy arises from truth and also from love. But when we embrace the truth of who Jesus is, and the truth of God, what he has done for us, and we receive that truth and then God's love, and as we share that love, joy is a byproduct of that. Joy is found then as we see God's love and truth in other people. Verse 4, John says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. Remember, that truth is to follow the command to love one another. He rejoiced. Joy came out because he saw evidence that they were loving in truth. And then we find at the end, he says, I have much to write to you, but I'd rather not use paper and ink. Why? Because it's impersonal. It's distant. It's incomplete. He says, instead, I hope to come to you and talk face-to-face, relationship, so that our joy may be complete. Our joy. In being together, in relationship, saying there we can really love one another in truth. And as we do that, our joy is complete. And as we're loving one another in truth, we're looking at truth and discerning what the truth is, so that we really understand about the love of God, what it is and what it is not. John gives us this great then triad of love, truth, and joy. They're tied together inseparably. So my hope is that for us as a congregation, that we would continue to grow in truth individually and together, so that we are learning God's word, growing deeper in it, seeing Jesus in deeper ways, and that we're able to love better because of that, And then the byproduct of that is our joy is complete. I'm going to read 2 John again. I encourage you, if you want to follow along again, you can. Just to pull all this together. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Let's pray. Lord, help us to grow in love, and in truth, and in joy. Give us discerning hearts and minds so that none of that can be eroded, so that there would be no truth decay, and thus decaying love and then joy. Lord, we want to love you more and more each day. Help us through your Spirit. We want to love one another more. Help us, guide us. And we thank you, God, for your tremendous love and the joy that you offer. It is through Jesus Christ